Hey everyone, this is Tony Reeves, and this is Reeves Reflection. Today, I want to talk to you about how important it is for you to move out of someone's way so they can achieve their dream. And this is how it worked for me. Now, for those of you who probably follow me along here, everyone knows that I am a mama's boy. You know, my hero is my mom, and I don't even make it a secret about it. Everybody knows that she was a single parent raising me. She was there for me at every step of the way in my growth process, and I love her for it entirely. But one of the things that she did that I never really truly appreciated was the fact that she was very, very pronounced about not getting in the way of my dreams. Now, I need people to understand when I say that, I'm not trying to say that other people's parents or other person's parents would block them from their dreams. That's not the example that I'm referring to. My mom had this fairly straightforward golden rule, was do not involve yourself in the affairs of her child. So, you know, if she put me in certain scenarios and circles where, of course, certain people she gave me access to in terms of serving as a mentor and everything like that. But when it came to decisions relating to me, oh, she was very clear about don't get split messing around with her child. And which brings me to this interesting point, because I didn't know this, but I found this out several years after the fact. So during my senior year in high school, I had expressed interest to attend this small private liberal arts school in Tampa, Florida. I was in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. This school was like 900 miles away. Now, let's be clear. I didn't want to go there. And she didn't know this, but at the time, I didn't want to go there because it was the best school and had all these great things to offer. I was going there because I was trying to impress my ROTC and JROTC instructor. And he was showing a little bit more attention to one of my rivals, good friend with a rival, and I wanted to prove to him that I was just as capable as that guy. And so when he was like, oh, you should go to the school, it's a great school, they offer awesome programs, I decided, well, guess what, I'm going to go there and I'm going to show and prove and make this thing do what it do. So here I am looking at, you know, I'm getting scholarships offers from different universities and so forth like that. I have completely tuned those schools out because I have my eye focused on this school. And as fate would have it, what I did not realize was, you know, how expensive it was. When you're in high school, you don't have any concept of cost if your parents haven't really explained that to you. So I didn't have any concept of how much it would cost to go to this school. So I'm sitting there going, hey, I want to go here. Now, again, let me keep this in context now. Single parent household. Mom is a teacher in what at the time, I don't know how they are now, but back in 1987, Arkansas was one of the lowest teacher paying states in the country. And my mom was a single parent with a son who wanted to go to a private school, out-of-state student in Tampa, Florida. So we've got a couple of hammers here. Out-of-state, which is usually a grip, private school, which was also a grip, and I was going away. So it wasn't like I was like in-state, going to a in-state private school and I could come back home like that. I was going 900 miles away. So, you know, I had got a leadership grant. I'm going to just, for purposes of numbers, let me just give you the breakdown when you're like, well, how expensive was it? It's not nowhere near expensive as it is probably today. Back then, I want to say it was probably somewhere in the neighborhood between $15,000 to $19,000 a year. So here we are in a situation. I got a leadership grant, which was like about $5,000 or $2,500. Yeah, $2,500 if I remember correctly. And I had applied for student loans, hadn't gotten them cleared yet. And that was pretty much it. And now, and so here I am, you know, loading up, going to the school and everything like that. And so, you know, no big deal. Basically, the school took care of paying for it, and they were just going to send an invoice to my mom for my mom to pay for it and so forth. Now, I can still remember, and I've joked about how when my mom got that first bill, it was for $900 a month. Now, I want you to wrap your brain around this. $900 a month. $900. This is back in 1987. My mom is a single parent, and I've said it several times, it gave her a heart attack. And so she called me, and well, actually I called her because this is back in pre-cell phone days, so I had called her on a payphone, and she was like, honest to tell me that she said, I just couldn't do it. I just could not put that check in the mail because literally her paying $900, it basically would devastate her financially. I mean, she literally would have had almost no money to survive on, to take care of rent, utilities, anything. And so I told her, I said, don't worry about it. We'll figure it out. If you've helped me out, I'm going to do what I can to make this thing happen. So later on, as fate would have it, student loans kicked in, so it wasn't a problem. I applied to be an RA, wasn't a problem. I got an RTC scholarship, did college work study. So out of all those 4 years, I think my mom only had to pay one check, and it wasn't $900, like $200 because it got reduced down, and I took care of the whole on my own. That's not the important part of the story. The important part of the story was a part that I didn't know about. And that part of the story was the part where my mom, I found out later, and my mom never told me this. I found out later that when she was struggling, there were family members encouraging her to convince me to come home. I mean, I was, you know, and it was funny because, and I never told my mom this. I don't know if I told her. And of course, you know, if she hears this, she'll know now. But I can still remember because one of my uncles had slipped because I had mentioned that I was thinking about possibly transferring back home. And I remember him making the comment that he was like, well, you know, we were trying to figure out why you went all the way down there anyway. You know, I'd already told, you know, a couple of us have already told your mama that, you know, she was over here struggling, you know, that she should call you and tell you to come on back and so forth. But you know how your mama is. She don't want nobody messing with her child. Now, let's be clear. I think he thought because I hadn't been contemplating coming back home that he and I were on the same sheet of music. And I, of course, I'm 18, 19 at the time, so he could probably say this and so forth like that. But what it did was it made me realize that here it is. My mom was struggling. My mom was struggling to take care of on her own because, you know, my father wasn't helping, so it was just her. She was struggling. She did not want to keep me from pursuing my dream of getting a degree from this university. And she was willing to keep that information to herself. And more importantly, she was communicating to people, or no, my mom, she may have said something in off the cuff because she's not really a complainer. What's important is that while others were aware that she was struggling, she would not let them say something to me, nor did she say something to me either. And that was the part that blew my mind. And it was funny because, I found this out like a couple of years, I think towards my senior year I found out and so forth. I found that out my junior year when I heard that from an uncle. I never said anything to my mom, but it made me look at her in a whole new light because my mom was willing to sit back and say, I'm not going to do anything to impact him pursuing his dream. I mean, she could have really, and I mean this wholeheartedly, my mom could have easily stepped to the forefront and said, Tony, I can't do this. It's too much for me financially. I know you don't want to come home, but I'm going to need you to because this is too much of financial stress. And I would have come home and I wouldn't have thought twice. And I wouldn't have felt bad about it because at that particular point in time, I was kind of miserable in the first semester. So had she said something then, I probably would have. But as I started to get it together, meaning, you know, once, you know, student loans kicked in, then from student loan, it went to college work study. College work study kicked in. It went to, I became a resident advisor. Resident advisor kicked in. Got an ROTC scholarship. As each one of those doors opened, which ensured that I could pay for my college education, she never let on that early in the process, she could have easily said, come home because this is not possible. She did not put herself in front of my dream. I say that to let everyone know that we often find ourselves having those people who jump in front of us and cause a delay in us pursuing our dreams. But you have to understand and you have to appreciate what it means to have someone in your life who is willing to not jump in your way and let you pursue your dream on your terms and not exercise their authority or their persuasiveness to cause you to pull back on what you intend to do. Now, don't get me wrong. She could have easily said something, but my mother knew enough to know that she knew that her voice had such weight with me that if she said something, it would derail my dreams. And I think a good part of that is because when she went through school, she was put in a compromised situation where she had to forego her dream of going to school. She spent like 3 years in school she wanted to, and she never got the chance to graduate from the school she wanted to graduate from. She made a promise to herself that she would never let her child go through that, and she didn't. And I was the better, and I am the better for it. This is Tony Reeves, and that is my reflection.